Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is happening? It is Dukes and Bell, man, on a Tuesday here at Paradise. Brian McFadden is in once again. Former Florida State Seminole, Pittsburgh Steeler, Cardinal, back to being a Steeler, an all-around good dude. He's kicking it with us today, as Carl is still on vacation, as he deserves it, and he'll be back next week. And that's when I'll take my final couple days of vacay. We try to knock it out before football season, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a great day to be alive.
Right on, man. I went to the Emory Voice Center today. I got some good news. I got the look at the vocal cords. Mm-hmm. I had a bad cold, and if you guys heard it last week, actually the last couple days, Carl was still here. And when you were coughing and you had vocal cord surgery, you get nervous because it kind of bangs the vocal cords that ain't good for them. Yeah. So that's why I was sounding like Frank Pantangeli from Godfather 2. You know, like, sitting drinking champagne cocktails. That's how I sounded a couple weeks ago. But the good news is I got the right meds. They got me on a whole bunch of stuff. Thing is, I'm the human side effect. So I'm on these things that kind of like numbs part of like the part of your throat and like your lungs that would give you like a tickle in your throat.
Yep.
And according to the instructions today when I was over at CVS, in a small percentage of patients, you may have a psychotic episode or see things that aren't there. So that's what you've got to look forward to for the next 5 hours.
It should be entertaining. I'm excited. Yeah.
So, I mean, this could go anywhere. So if you've never heard a guy have a psychotic episode on the radio, that could be coming your way this afternoon.
Must listen.
Yeah. I would think we'd definitely make the headlines one way or the other. Anyway, we like to start the show, every hour of every show, by saying a big hearty, hey, man! Nice. Now, again, we can't get the kids involved because the boss, Star-Lord, has the mute button on him. But anywho.
We see them.
Right on, brother. Hey, man. Last night, the Braves, and we'll talk all about the NBA Rookie of the Year and the NBA Awards went out. I thought Giannis, just more reasons to like the kid, man. Just such a likable dude, didn't you?
Yeah. I felt like he was the best player in the NBA, you know, from start to finish, and being able to see him get the award.
Right.
Much deserving.
And a real genuine moment, too, because it comes – I mean, there's nothing phony about the guy. I mean, he's a likable dude. You know, how many guys would say, yeah, I'll stay here in Milwaukee? I mean, he actually said it.
I don't think you would say that.
No, I don't. Never. Actually, you know what? I shouldn't say that because I've only been to the airport. I'm never on the way to a Packer game. I've never actually been.
It's just about some places here in the country, when you hear their name, nah, you're like, nah.
And they say it's delightful. Again, like all the other cities on Lake Michigan. Oh, it's so beautiful in the summer. Yeah. And then the rest of the year, they put up ropes when you're on the sidewalk because the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour and it's 3 feet of snow.
Exactly.
But they say it's quite lovely at times. But I felt, you know, it was kind of cool. And I felt good for Coach Budenholzer. He was kind of getting misty-eyed when Giannis was doing his thing, talking about his road. And if you guys hadn't seen it, there was a – I think HBO's Real Sports has done a feature on him. There was an interview, Brian, on 60 Minutes, I think it was either this year or last year, about Giannis and his trip and his journey,
his journey.
From Greece to America, and as he's getting better. And I kind of thought it was cool how Kobe challenged him to be the MVP a couple of years ago, and he got it.
He went and got it. Now Kobe tweeted out, now it's about time to go get a championship. So
right.
Let's see.
Now they got to add some pieces, though, don't they?
Yeah, they got to add some pieces. I mean, they just played against the best team in the NBA in the playoffs. Right. I mean, what Toronto was doing, they were playing their best basketball in postseason play with one of the best players in the game in Kawhi, and they just met a better team.
We have found out who the guy who did not give Trae Young a vote for Rookie of the Year. Apparently, he's no longer in the newspaper business.
Really?
Shocking. This came out. But it's out there. The list has been released. It's been out there. It's on Twitter. You can find it. But some guy that wrote for some, like, I don't know, the Gastonia Pudwhacker or something up there in North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, I presume he'd be covering the Hornets, right? That would be his beat. And he apparently also had Dennis Schroeder as Sixth Man of the Year on his ballot. So,
wow.
So this guy's just all about the NBA. But, yeah, there's always one guy. And I looked at the ballot and I saw who's voting for some of these. There's guys from Australia. There's a real international flavor. There's too many guys, like 100 guys.
You know what? I think the NBA, they're doing that on purpose. You know, just trying to continue.
Globalization of the brand.
Yes, yes, globally trying to really become a global sport. And they've done a phenomenal job, especially in the offseason, having some of their superstar players go, you know, across the country and things like that, and just hit other areas in the world that they really wouldn't hit during the season.
Now, the media, unfortunately, for so many of these postseason awards or for Hall of Fames, are the gatekeepers. And I've always thought, especially in the NFL, there's too many guys and not enough former players. I mean, get more guys that have played the game recently involved in that conversation,
yeah.
Which I think is a good thing. I still think, you know, there's always going to be guys got to pay the price because they didn't kiss the media's butt.
Yep.
You know, Charles Haley, Terrell Owens, you know, you see it all the time. There's guys who just have that strange relationship. And so they got to pay the – like, if you're a Hall of Famer in the first year or the second year, you're still a Hall of Famer, yeah. But there is the prestige of being that first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and also, too, basketball, it's a lot easier to get into the Hall than the likes of the NFL.
Because it's
NFL,
an international Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got some guys that, you know, might not have been the best player throughout their tenure in the NBA, but because of the basketball status, you know what I mean, playing in the Olympics, things like that, they find a way to get into the Hall.
So we'll give you some information. We don't want you to go, like, find this guy on social media and pester him because we just found out he lost his job. But but maybe he lost his job because he's got really awful takes on basketball. That might be the case. But Trae Young, we knew that Luka going into this had a monster year. And Luka came right out of the wrapper, you know, age 19, but having a couple of years' experience in Europe, playing at the highest level. And that counts for something, Brian.
Yes.
And as we said a million times the last year, you can have two teams win a trade, and now you throw in what we hope Cam Reddish is going to become. We feel great about it, but you got to tip your cap to Luka because that guy was making big shots and doing some exciting stuff all season long.
Yeah, he was ready for the NBA day one, and you saw Trae kind of struggled a little bit, and it took time, and then eventually when he found his stride, he was rolling. But Luka just started faster than Trae, and he was able to sustain that level of play even when Trae had that great second half of the year. I mean, the Hawks were entertaining to watch. He was dropping buckets left and right. Luka just had a nice lead on Trae. So for me, I think it could have went either way. Granted, you know, we're a bit biased here in Atlanta. Would love to see Trae win the award, but I have no knock on seeing Luka win the award based on how he played the entire season.
Yeah, you touched on it. I mean, there's nobody that was hotter in the second half, and it was a great conversation. We had a couple of Hawks fans. I was one of them going round and round with Mavericks fans down the stretch about who was the guy. And that's fine. I mean, you got to tip your cap because, as you said, he was also winning games, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some big wow moments. Now, Trae, I don't know, eventually Trae, we talked about this in the month of, like, end of April. Then Trae started getting on SportsCenter. But there were so many moments. Luka hits that fadeaway three falling in the stands, you know. Luka with a jam, taking it to the hole on two dudes. So there were some big moments there, too. And then Trae had some unbelievable, you know, heroics late in games for us. The good news is, guys, we're starting to build this thing. And wouldn't that be something if these two careers continue? Because remember in the rookie challenge, remember, was that Luka and Trae? And Trae beat him by like a second.
Yep.
And they're going head-to-head. It would be interesting if you want to say 4 years down the road we meet in the finals. You know, hey, Mavericks and the Hawks.
And I can say this. We know how the future is looking for Atlanta being here in the city. But when you look at the Mavericks, you know, making that huge move to acquire Porzingis, and hopefully he's healthy and he's prepared to go. I mean, that's a team that could add a piece or two when you have Luka and Porzingis, not to mention the money available. They could become a relevant team in the West.
Right.
You know what I mean? So who knows exactly what the future looks for the Mavericks. But based on having the Zanger and Luka, you got two ideal pieces to build around. And here in Atlanta, you got Collins, you got Trae, you got Herter, you got three pieces. And then you add Hunter and Reddish.
I'm telling you, man, get your tickets, man. What was the old line from Teal? Get your popcorn. It's going to be exciting. Now do we fight and do we battle for that 8th seed or 7th seed in a very discombobulated Eastern Conference? Of course, we won't know anything until free agency starts to play out. But don't you get the feeling that if there are free agents going somewhere, it's to the West?
Yeah, to the West.
I mean, the Nets and the Knicks still got to make a play because they got to put fannies in the seats.
Yeah, I think the Knicks and the Nets will land at least one max-like player.
Right.
You know, one potential superstar. But outside of that, I would really believe a lot of key players that are free agents in the East could migrate out West, and that would actually help Atlanta chances as far as finding a way to get into the tournament when that time comes. I don't expect to see the Hawks be extremely aggressive via free agency.
No, not this time around.
Money-wise, yeah, I don't expect to see them be extremely aggressive. Maybe sign a guy here or there, maybe a second-tier or third-tier type of player. But it's about developing the young players
right,
and allowing these guys to grow around each other. Hopefully they're able to bring back Vince Carter. I think that would be a huge plus.
And there was an article that Chris Vivlamore, either I can never tell if it was an article or a blog, but Chris Vivlamore in the AJC just said some of the moves they're making may make it difficult to bring Vince Carter back. Vince is on record as saying he wants to play another season. Everybody would love to see Vince, and wouldn't it be cool to see Vince, you know, working with some of these young studs as well? And even though Jeremy Lin was only here for a few months, Trey did say that Jeremy gave him some valuable lessons and helped him with his development, and Vince certainly with some guys playing wing and doing some of the things that he's able to do. So that would be great. I hope it happens. Right now, it's like a 50-50 proposition, according to Chris Vivlamore. We'll get the headlines next segment, but Braves last night, you and I were talking in the rumpus room in rumpus. We got our prep room. I don't really do prep, but you know, we just chew the fat.
You're professional.
Yeah, I mean, I think prep's overrated. Plus, I got squid belly. Look at this. I got a guy preparing all this prep.
Did you prep when you were in college?
God, no. That was one of those keys I could just roll in and ace the test. And for real quick, I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in ninth grade in school, now this is different. I can't speak for how it is in the state of Georgia, but in New York, and they changed this, obviously. You could flunk out all four quarters of French, as I did, but pass the state regents test.
And pass.
And get a passing grade for the year.
What?
Yes. And I remember Miss Johnson.
Why even go to class?
Well, that's, again, you can argue, that's, they changed that rule, not because of me, but later on, eventually, somebody put up a red flag on that. And I'll never forget Miss Johnson. We had our high school reunion, our 30-year reunion a couple years ago. And the cool thing about my school is we stayed in touch with a lot of our coaches.
Yep.
I got a couple of coaches that still listen, Coach Poveromo and stuff. And anyway, Miss Johnson went there, and we're all chatting at my buddy's bar. And she goes, I still can't believe, my God, you're the worst student I ever had, and you got a 70 on the Regents test.
Were you cheated?
No, there was an old Steve Martin bit about trying to learn French, and I wrote that out in French about how he said omelette du fromage, which means cheese omelette.
Yeah,
and I was able to squeak by, which again sets a terrible precedent for a student because you think you can do that the rest of your life.
Yeah, okay.
Which I pretty much have.
So you guys in New York, you had to take on one foreign language.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you went with French.
I went with French. And my mom taught French in school.
For me, Florida was Spanish.
Right. Which I wish I took because French is pretty useless unless you're trying to impress a girl.
Yes. Yeah,
which can come in handy.
Yeah. Well, Spanish because they had all the pretty girls also.
Right.
That was easy for me.
Now, what was MacArthur like? What was the school like?
My goodness. We had, my senior class almost had 700 students.
That's a big school. Yeah, by the way, Brian grew up in Hollywood. There's a couple of the guys who played in the NFL and played in Major League Baseball and went to Brian's high school. Yeah. And that whole neighborhood, by the way, by the beach, Hollywood's been totally redone the last couple of years.
Oh, no question. I mean, they're really changing the dynamics of downtown, the area right by the beach. But, Hollywood, I mean, we had a lot of students. My senior class was booming.
Right.
Yeah.
And we had, I think, my school was 250. Squid, how many kids you have when you grew up up there in northern Kennesaw? Where did you grow up? Where did you go to high school? Paulding County. How many kids in your graduating class? That's about mine. Yeah, 250. That's easy.
250?
That's easy.
Yo, my senior year, our freshman class had 1,000 students.
Believe it. No, there's some monster schools in New York, but I graduated out in the suburbs, and it was kind of cool because we all had a great rapport with the teachers. I got to be honest with you. Some people hated high school. I had no problem with high school.
I love high school.
Me too.
My senior year, all I did was walk the hallways.
Me too.
Yes.
Yeah. I had the grades, except for gym class. Yeah. I cut gym. They made me go to summer school for gym class. I had to run the track for two days. I had to run the track for 2 weeks.
I hated gym because I hated changing my school clothes and my
fresh
sneakers.
All sweaty, and then you got
yes, because I wasn't fond of taking showers at school, so I didn't want to do that. You know what I mean? So I'd rather not just change. Let me keep my school gear on.
Yeah, do I have to play scooter hockey? Hey, man, we'll come back with the headlines. Braves last night, we got bad Julio. Sometimes there's good Julio. And the thing with, ironically, bad Julio last night, when does Snitker realize that bad Julio was on the mound and you got to get him out of there? We'll talk about the Braves. Hopefully they bounce back with Fried. And Brian McFadden's got an interesting take on Contreras' hijinks last night at the dish. It's all coming up. Dukes and Bell with BMAC in today. It is 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, appreciate you guys trying our beer. We love when you guys drink our Hey Man Ale and you post the pictures on Twitter and Instagram, social media. Don't forget to tag Attaconee Brewing Company. Those are our boys. And last night, there was a couple of dudes doing poker night, and they had pictures of them grabbing the brew. Some guys with the poker chips on the table and the brew, and we appreciate that, man. Nothing says a guy's night out like stogies and a Hey Man Ale. By the way, I can't believe we were talking off the air yesterday. You are not a fisher guy. You know, no. Fish. How will you grow up in South Florida? You don't like to be on the water, man.
I'm not a water guy. That's the thing.
Because, like, the ocean is the shark's house? Or nah, what's the holdup?
You know, I guess being around it, you know, you get used to it.
All right.
It's almost like you with New York, you know, the snow. You know,
No. That's never going back.
But you get used to it.
No,
right?
I shoveled. That was my dad's cheap labor source doing the driveway.
Your dad was smart.
My mom used to farm me out. Oh, Michael, you'll do the driveway. What? $10 a child. My mom, seriously, would promise, like, all the ladies in the church she was friends with, and that was cut into our profit margin. No, the reason I bring up the boat, I just ordered. You know, I've always thought those goofy fishing shirts guys wear from Colombian stuff, like those, like, multi-layered. Yeah. I always thought those were the goofiest things. And then I was talking to the boat captain. We're going out and going to the Keys next week. And he's like, yeah, get one of those shirts, you idiot, because, you know, you got to protect yourself. You got to put on this, you know, because I'm getting older and you got to be careful with your skin, you know, SPF, like, you know, 75. Slather that on. When you're out on the boat, you know, for 6 hours, you know, you're going to get burned. So, yeah, I ordered one of those goofy, like, fishing shirts. So I'm all in this year.
You got to look the part.
Yeah, and the big dopey hat, and you can put your sunglasses on a string. There's a whole uniform. Like anything else, man, you got to have a uniform when you do something. You got to look official.
You got to look official.
Now, you play golf?
Not really.
Yeah, I I'm the same. I play, but not good.
I attempted, a few weeks ago on a course. You know what? My driving game is not where it needs to be.
Welcome to the club. But you got the duds, though, because at least you look the part.
I look good. You will pick me on your team quick just based on how I look. But when you see me swing, you know,
I'm with you. Yeah, it's my swing. It's like holding a slinky in my hand. No one knows where it's going. All right, let's hit the headlines, brother.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
I didn't put you on the spot. You did a fantastic job. You know, queued it up yesterday. We'll do it every other day. We don't want to abuse the privilege. It is Brian McFadden today in for Carl Dukes as we roll the headlines with you. And let's start off with what everybody was talking about last night with the Braves and the Cubbies, second inning. And it's rare to see catcher-on-catcher violence, or at least catcher-on-catcher talking and jabbering. Contreras does have a history of doing this stuff. Here's how it sounded on Fox.
Contreras and Tom Payne. And I think...
No, it's Flowers. Flo wants him.
John Tom Payne is warning everybody. Julio Teheran talking with Contreras as he went around the bases. And here we go in Chicago. Contreras now pointing at Julio Teheran, who has to be restrained by Ozzie Albies and Johan Camargo. And Tyler Flowers, a la Brian McCann and Carlos Gomez, took exception, and he wanted a piece of the Cubs catcher.
Yeah, you see Julio, man. You don't ever see Julio get this heated right here.
And Contreras was really pointing toward the Braves dugout as he made his way around the bases after his solo homer the other way.
All right, man, what's your thought on this? As I said, Contreras does have a history. Yeah. They even showed Jeff Francoeur from a couple of years ago getting into it with Contreras at the dish.
You know what? I like it. You know why I like it? It's entertaining. In baseball, they have so many unwritten rules.
Right.
You can't do this. You can't do that. They're not written down, but they're unwritten rules. And I think when you look at sports in totality, when it comes to professional sports, being able to have individuals be an individual, talking trash, that's a part of the game. Except when it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
You don't talk trash in baseball.
Yeah, but you don't yell blank you if you hit the home run of the catcher.
So what? You know what? The pitcher needs to do a better job in throwing strikes. If you don't want to hear a trash talker talk trash, the best way to keep them quiet is to do what?
Get it done.
Exactly.
Shut them down.
I think football, people talk trash. Fans love seeing it. Basketball, people talk trash. Fans love seeing it.
That's why you like to get those courtside seats so you can hear it.
That's one of the gripes about the NBA because everybody's friends now. Back in the day when we used to really love hardcore basketball, there were enemies. There were no friends. They kept everything in perspective. And I think baseball, they never had that element. Like if you went to a baseball game and you saw some of your favorite players going at some of the opposing players respectfully, you appreciate that. Now, did you hit a crowd in Wrigley Field?
They're going bananas.
What? Yeah. Think about it. Yes, I like that. That got me going.
Well, we got a guy on the Braves who's kind of like Contreras. His name is Luke Donaldson. You know, Donaldson's one of those guys, too. There was a scene last night where they called the strike zone, and again, Lester, and same thing goes for Teheran. They're living on the black of the plate, and Lester's much better at it than Teheran historically, and Teheran last night just didn't have the movement, and he couldn't get the strike call he's looking for. So there was a point where Donaldson, they call a borderline strike a ball, and the Cubs, I think it was Joe Maddon, immediately lights into the ump. Josh Donaldson turns and goes, shh, to the Cubs.
That. Yes. Yes, bring it. You know what? Tonight when they face off again, if I was a part of the Braves, you know what? Let's go get some get back.
Here's Snitker on what was going down. It all started basically because, and this happens way too, I always thought they, when they said they were going to speed up the game, that meant get in the box, don't scratch your balls, don't adjust your wrist wraps and everything else in your gloves, get in there and swing the bat. Problem last night is it happened a few times with Turan, yep, where it's like me, you, me. You know, the pitcher would step off, batter would step out of the box. Like, let's go while we're young. Either way, here's Snitker on what he thought happened.
No, I think it was over as soon as it was over. You know, I mean, it was just one of those things, a couple of guys having discussion.
Did they give you a warning after that?
Yeah, they warned. Yeah. I don't know why, but...
Yeah.
It was fun to see. Julio, I've never seen him, and Francoeur talked about it on Fox Sports. Nick Green's going to join us, by the way, as part of the big story coming up, a strong arm story at 5:20. But, Brian, last night, Frenchie was saying he'd never seen Turan get that animated. Usually, Turan, you hear him, we always make fun in the post-game press conference, like, you know, sometimes the ball, it goes over the fence. You know, he's just kind of a comme-ci-comme-ça kind of guy. You know,
that.
But, yeah, but last night he was hot. He wanted a piece of him.
And I like it. That's good. We want to see. I want to see that. You know what I mean? Give me some entertainment. But keep everything respectful.
Right.
But yet and still, keep it within the game. I have no problem with that.
It was the second inning. He was able to wriggle out of a major jam, which I thought, okay, maybe he's going to keep it together. Then the big inning, things exploded in the fifth. But let's get back to the Contreras situation. Catchers and catchers. These are two guys that have chosen to be a really, you know, let's be honest, it's a really dumb profession. Catching is the worst job in professional sports. So usually these guys have each other's back. Here's what Tyler Flowers had to say about the whole thing.
Honestly, it wasn't about me. It was about him showing up the pitcher in that kind of situation. That was more my issue with it. I got no problem with him saying anything to me, but, you know, when it starts to reflect on my pitcher on the mound and our team, that's more of an issue for me.
Now, one more from Tyler Flowers talking about Joe Maddon, because, again, the Cubs are yapping too, and everybody wanted a piece.
Yeah, he came up to me pretty quick trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, I think I've played against him long enough, and he's seen me long enough to know that I'm not really an instigator in those type things. So I gave him a quick rundown on it, and without making Contreras look bad, he said he talked to him and take care of it. I thought that was first class by Joe.
And then we saw one of the bench manager, bench coaches, I should say, in the Cubs, sitting Contreras down and saying, "Look, man, cool your jets. I know you're a passionate guy, but you know, dial it back a notch."
Not me.
Brian wants to see. Well, again, if you want to see brawls, but here's my beef with a baseball fight. Nobody ever throws a punch. Exactly. It's all talk.
My thing is this. That moment got them going. The entire
energized
stadium
Cubs
went bananas. You can tell his teammates rallied behind him.
Right.
And clearly that momentum, it was a snowball effect. The Braves couldn't stop it. Now, when pitchers start throwing pitches at batters, now you're taking it too far. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, usually, you know, that you see that's how pitchers respond. But me personally, I really enjoyed seeing that because that's what sports is about.
I love to see a real fight. That's why I love hockey, because hockey, there's no talk. Hockey, they just drop the gloves and let's go. And it's one-on-one, and then they settle it. Baseball, my beef is, now I'm with you, I like a little fracas as much as the next guy, but I actually want to see punches landing and hitting somebody as opposed to, hold me back.
They would never allow it to get to what it is. Hockey, that's a part of the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? You fight, you go sit in the box, you come back out, no fine, no suspensions. It's a part of the game. Baseball would never get to that level, but I think being able to allow trash talk or have trash talk back and forth, that would be entertaining.
It is a new generation they're trying to appeal to, millennials, and this is not a knock on millennials because I'm the same way. I have a hard time sitting through a 4.5-hour baseball game.
Yes, yes.
I grew up, and again, I'm not trying to sound like an old fart, but when I was a kid, baseball games were 2.5 hours, 3 hours tops.
Sometimes it feels like you're watching golf.
Well, that's, Brian, that's my beef. My biggest thing, and my wife was laughing last night, I'm like, get in the damn box. Guys sit there. It's like every pitch, a guy steps out. I thought they were going to, you know, police that, you know, and move that stuff along. And everybody last night for both teams, you know, they do re-Velcro your grip on your wrist and then on your gloves. One more. Let me give you one more cut, by the way. This is from Tyler Flowers. He was saying that Contreras, it started off that he was mad at the ump, and then it turned into a thing with him.
He wasn't happy with the umpire on the second strike. For some reason, he felt inclined to say something to me after he hit the ball.
And that's how it went down.
Yeah.
But as Brian said, it energized the Cubbies.
It did. And if I'm Atlanta, let's go get back. Let's go.
Now,
today is the opportunity to get some revenge. Let's show them up.
And Max Fried is on the bump.
Mad Max.
Good outing, by the way. Four, what did he have? It was six innings and only two earned runs when he beat the Mets last Wednesday.
He's been, against the Cubs, Max has been rolling. You might want to put him in your fantasy lineup tonight.
Everybody looked good against the Cubs that first three games. Don't forget, that's another part of this. We really humiliated the Cubs.
Yes,
and if
yes.
you didn't see, if you don't remember the opening start to the opening homestand for the Braves, the Cubs were a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think the one game I went to, I think it was a home opener. Yeah. They might have had five errors in that game.
But also, too, you better believe the Cubs remember that. They got embarrassed mm-hmm. when they came here. They got embarrassed. It wasn't even competitive. So you better believe that's a team that has championship pedigree. They remember that. And also, the Braves were one of the best teams in the NL. So, of course, you know, it's good on good.
Phillies beat the Mets last night. So, down to 5.5 is the lead in the East. It is Adbert Alzolay. You're Harry Carey. Hey, Adbert Alzolay on the bump. Four innings in middle relief. That's his only other appearance. So, this is his first start. See what the Braves can do to this dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to see him. Hopefully, they can tee off on
him. Against the Mets, he looked real good.
Now, the Bravos, if you don't like him, as Brian said, you don't like something about it, go do something about it.
Yeah.
John Lester's one of the better pitchers. The irony is he was terrible. He was having a really bad stretch up until that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And Squidbilly pointed this out to me. John Lester has never lost to the Braves as a Cub.
Wow.
So that's dominance. Yeah. Hey, we'll come back. We'll chop up the NBA, the awards last night, Rookie of the Year, the guys that were in for Trey and not Giannis and everything else. When we come back, Brian McFadden in for Carl today on Dukes and Bell. And we're live inside the Kia Studios. Dukes and Bell. Brian McFadden in for Carl today and tomorrow as well. Hope you're enjoying his takes. We're going to talk about a crazy story out of the NFL you're not going to want to miss because one of the top picks is kaput for the 2019 season. We'll fill you in the blitz on the way. A couple of things last night with the awards that we said to start the show. Thought Giannis Antetokounmpo, great job, you know. First off, he's a rootable guy, you know, in a smaller market. And much like we saw with KD in Oklahoma City, you can be a star in a smaller market.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of cool to see Coach Bud getting all, you know, kind of misty when he was going through his acceptance speech. But we do have the numbers on the Rookie of the Year, as expected. I don't think anyone in Atlanta thought that Trey was going to win Rookie of the Year. We're just curious to see how tight it was going to be and how many guys would actually have his back. Mike Conti's got a lot of information out there. You go to Mike Conti's Twitter page, at MikeConti929. You can read all the breakdowns of who's voting for who, Brian. But in a nutshell, you got A. Sherrod Blakely of NBC Sports Boston and Royce Young of ESPN. Those are the two media members who gave Trey Young first-place votes. And the rest, of course, went to Luka.
Yep.
But Trey was a guy that, you said it best, man, really, you know, is a younger guy, a little undersized, and all of a sudden by the All-Star break, he was just in a rhythm. It took him a minute to get going. Don't forget, John Collins wasn't ready to go to start the season either.
Yeah, you know, they weren't healthy to start the season, and clearly it took some time for them to get into rhythm. And, of course, with the point guard position, Trey had some issues finding his rhythm. But once he settled in and he showed the ability to fight through adversity,
right.
And, man, he was fun to watch. So I'm okay with, you know, Trey not winning the award, but a deserving second, that's right where he needs to be if he was not able to win the award. But now it's about taking the next step forward.
The guy that I thought did a great job last year, we mentioned John Collins. And Rick Bucher, by the way, of Bleacher Report, gave John Collins a second-place vote for most improved player, which I thought was kind of cool,
mm-hmm.
as he did a great job. And that's why we're so excited about the core. I mean, we've got our nucleus set up. Now it's just a matter of letting these guys get the reps and learn on the job. And that's part of the reason why Baze is in here, to give more time for the guys on the wing to go get those reps, man, and get that experience.
Yeah, and just about continuing to improve and develop your craft. You know what I mean? Because now the thing about the Hawks, based on how they finished the season, you're not going to sneak up on opposing teams. They're going to take you serious. And deserving so, because you can ball. You can ball. I mean, you got three young, talented pieces that you can build around with Collins, Young, and Herter. Outstanding players, athletic, extremely athletic, and they all got better as the year went on. And then you add Hunter and Reddish, and who knows exactly what they have in store, maybe adding like a second-tier or third-tier type of player via free agency. But if they don't make any moves, I'm okay with this roster. If this roster is healthy, they have enough to get into the tournament.
I know you mentioned earlier, I think a lot of people like to see Vince Carter sticking around, kind of help, you know, have an old dude that kind of helps the young dudes, you know, on the team. And also, you know, we talked about Jeremy Lin, the role he played with Trae Young last year for the time that he was with the Hawks. In case you're wondering, the only guy that did not have Trae Young on one of his first, second, or third ballots for a Rookie of the Year, the man's name is Richard Walker from the Gaston Gazette. As I said, there's too many guys voting for this stuff, Brian.
Yeah.
You got a dude, as you said, the international flavor. They want to appeal to the broad, you know, obviously they want to market to everybody around the world, and that's why they've got journalists from around international basketball TV coverage. Guillermo Schutz of Televisa. You got a guy from, you got a guy from Sky Italia. There's a dude from the something I can't pronounce. There's a lot of international flavor, though. There's even a guy from Australia that gets a ballot on this. But isn't that too many?
It is. And who's to say these guys are watching basketball consistently? You know what I mean? That's another thing. You basically, you could be giving your vote based on what you see number-wise, not necessarily paying attention to the flow of the game, how these guys impact games from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. So that tells a lot. But I know what the NBA, I understand what they're trying to do. You know what I mean? Continue to make this sport a global sport.
I mean, all the teams and all the cities that got you know, a couple guys covering, okay, that's one thing. And I guess certainly a dude like Bill Simmons, because I might not want to see him on TV, but it's interesting to read, and Bill knows his stuff. So Bill from The Ringer, he gets a vote on this because he's been, you know, passionate about the NBA for years, and he does know his stuff. Michael Wilbon, Brian Windhorst Squid gets a vote. The guy that made his bones kind of being LeBron's walking jockstrap, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, you hang around long enough in the TV business, you get a vote, I suppose.
Yep.
Either way, we're not crying over spilt milk because, as we said to start the program, we kind of knew that Luka was going to be the guy. Meanwhile, some of the other categories out there, Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert with the Jazz. I never got to watch much of the Jazz, but that's a team which is on the rise now.
Oh,
you
no
could argue
question.
They're going to be in the mix next year in the West.
Yes, and they just traded for Conley. So adding Conley, you gave up Jay Crowder, Grayson Allen, and I think another player. I can't remember who else they gave up. Rubio. Mm-hmm. But to go get Conley, and now you got Mitchell, you got Gobert, you got that's a nice few pieces to add to what you already have when you add Conley. So Utah, a talented team, very, very defensive-minded team when you look at what Rudy has been able to do in his career. So, I mean, I like the move. I like the move both ways. I mean, Memphis, you know, you get ready to replace Conley anyway when you got Ja Morant in the draft. So that deal worked out well for both teams. But, yeah, Utah will be a nice team once again, playoff team.
One thing for certain, Denver Nuggets are going to be a team. That's why, because, again, you're trying to handicap the West in a potentially Golden State not in a position to dominate, you know. And the Lakers still waiting to see, you know, they got Anthony Davis and they got LeBron, and now they're going to try to figure out how they're going to work one more name in there with everybody else on 10-day contracts. And then you talk about Portland. Portland's going to try to, but they probably need one more piece to get over. So they got to stay healthy also during the playoffs at crunch time.
Yeah.
But and then the Rockets. Do you believe all the hype, though, about the fact that Chris Paul and James Harden don't laugh at the same jokes anymore?
Yeah, I believe it. You know what? I don't know to the extent that they're saying, you know, as far as the relationship being that rocky, but I believe there is some issues going on personally between both players. Clearly, Chris Paul is not happy with his identity in this new offense. James Harden is the ball dominant player, and because of that, he's been able to be so successful. But Chris Paul has always been the ultimate point guard, and for him to be successful, guess what? He needs to have the ball in his hands. And clearly, in that system, everything is predicated to James Harden. So, but you can't move Chris Paul. Have you seen his salary? Chris and Cliff Paul, they're getting paid.
Now, the guy that I'd like to get, but I there's just no way to make it work, I would imagine now, is Clint Capella. That would have been a cool piece for the Hawks.
I mean, he's overpaid.
But one of those guys we had talked about before all this started. All the dominoes are starting to fall. But, yeah, they said they're going to try to patch it up. Yeah, and by the way, I'm over the Rockets. The Rockets are always making snarky comments. They're like, congratulations to Giannis. We respectfully disagree. They still think Harden should have been the guy. Well, you know what? Play some defense.
Yeah, play some defense. When we talk about the MVP, it's not just a one-sided award. You got to be able to be effective on both sides of the floor. And clearly, it has always been Harden's Achilles. But they're not going to move Chris Paul. I mean, this guy's getting ready to get paid, what, $38 million, $40 million, $40-plus million the next 3 years? Chris and Cliff Paul, boy. I mean, they're getting paid. And then you got State Farm and all the, man, listen, nobody's picking up $40 million for Chris Paul right now.
And then we have the comments of Rajon Rondo, who's saying, you know, like, I'm supposed to be the bad guy. Remember, like, a year and a half ago, he goes, Chris Paul ain't all he's cracked up to be.
Yeah,
now,
know,
he's throwing shade, but, I mean, he's basically saying he's kind of a phony.
Yeah,
that's
Rondo,
what I read from it.
Rondo does not like Chris Paul, and he's not afraid to let that be known. But, yeah, clearly Harden and Chris Paul, they have some issues, but unfortunately they probably will be with each other again because nobody is taking on Chris Paul's deal.
Hey, congratulations to Coach Mike Budenholzer. He gets Coach of the Year. As we said, they struggled down the stretch, and we knew that he was going to kind of maybe get a little kooky inside. And one of the elimination game where he kind of changed the roster, kind of went back to what was using earlier in a regular season. But either way, Coach Bud, congrats. He beats out Michael Malone for the Nuggets, who we talked about, Doc Rivers for the Clippers, waiting to see what the Clippers are going to do. Sixth Man of the Year, a guy that, you know, if we had had this guy on the 60-win team, We might have actually won a few games against Cleveland. Lou Williams.
Yeah.
Lou is a guy, you want to talk about a six-man, instant offense. We could not make it work, couldn't afford him. And Murphy's Law, when we had that 14-15 season, Lou wasn't a part of it. And all he does is just come off the bench and light things up. And he wins, I think it's his third six-man of the year.
Third six-man of the year, deserving. So, once again, a top-tier player coming off the bench. And one thing about Lou, he embraces his role. You know what I mean? Some players, once they set their establish their identity as a scorer, as an impactful player, eventually want to get into the starting lineup. He's okay coming off the bench because that's better for him and that's also better for the team. So he was the only player that was deserving of first place votes for me, right, in my opinion.
Most improved player goes to Pascal Siakam.
Dead
we saw
on.
What he could do, man, certainly. And, you know, he had one big game in Toronto. He said, can he do that again in Golden State? And actually, he was part of a very, you know, active scoring group other than a guy named Kawhi Leonard for the Raptors to win that championship. So good for him. And we mentioned there was a vote from Rick Bucher for John Collins for most improved player from the Hawks. So
yeah,
some cool vibes there. And then we already talked to start. If you're just tuning in, we talked about Luka and how the balloting went down. And then Trae Young does come in second. But I do believe both guys can win, you know, the award. If you could split it, I would love to be able to do that. Only one can get it. I know we both agree. Both teams won the trade. We got
yes.
a good thing with Trae. And you can't argue with what Luka did. That guy's a highlight reel.
Yeah. Both teams won the trade. But the percentage goes to the Hawks because that extra pick was Cam Reddish.
At the end of the day, only time will tell. Everybody wants that instant gratification. Well, the hardware this year went to Luka. We're talking about the Larry O'Brien Trophy,
yes,
boys and girls here in Atlanta. We'll come back. NFL Blitz. I want to get Brian McFadden's take on CBA. You happy with your representation? Curious where this is going to go. The only reason I bring this up is
another state just legalized weed.
And if
like
the NFL kind of loosened things up, would that maybe make some players feel about making a deal? When we come back, NFL Blitz, including one guy already done for the season in this year's NFL draft.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.